I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God. No.
And
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me, God damn it. Do it harder. Make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
What I'm learning now is if the company says record profits, get ready to get fired. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm learning, right?
That's why they're record profits. They're not paying your ass anymore.
They're just like, they announced these record profits and everybody else just shut up. And then all of a sudden, like, they're just firing like 10, 12 people at a time. And I don't know exactly why that happens or how that happens, but that's what's happening in World Wrestling Entertainment, right?
Yeah. All this money coming in and, you know, poof, all these people growing.
It was a ton of people, including your friend Velveteen Dream. Who,
yeah, I was going to say some of them are warranted, but you know,
yes. It's the Velveteen Dream, baby. I'm going to be hanging out by the playground. I'll tell
that
you
is
what,
a rip off.
It's hard times with me over here in this white van handing out this free candy, Daddy. It is hard times with me having to stay 1,000 feet away from this school, baby.
No. Oh, God.
I'll tell you what, baby. You lay your hands on your TV, and I'm going to lay my hands on this TV and this hard times blues. And we're going to get through it. Me and Matt Gaetz, baby. We're going to get through all of it.
Oh,
they kind of announced him different and separately from some of the other ones with the eight and the two referees and all these other people that they let out, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, who was the ref they let go? That one,
Drake Wirtz, wasn't he the one that was like showing up on Zoom on all the Seminole County commissioner meetings and talking about the masks and about how they're helping out pedophiles by having people wear masks and shit like that? Wasn't that guy?
Yeah, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, his was warranted too, so there's two for two.
Look here, baby. The pedophiles got to run. They got to run. Woo, free in WWE for long enough. When I, the Velveteen Dream, Daddy, was able to do a good job in the WWE for a while. That's what I'm saying. Let's see. Dave Meltzer confirmed that Kavita Devi, Jessamine Duke, Ezra Judge, Skylar Story, Vanessa Bourne, Alexander Wolf, and referees Drake Wirtz and Jake Clemens have been released from the company. Sean Rass Sapp of Fightful was the first to report the cuts. More are expected, including Velveteen Dream. Wirtz had been a referee for the NXT brand since 2014, had been seen as recently as this week's episode of NXT. Wolf signed with World Wrestling Entertainment in 2015. He also appeared on last night's NXT, where he was laid out by members of Imperium after they turned on him. That's funny. He gets to leave the territory. I left the territory the right way, baby. I think I'm gonna do the honors.
God damn it, here's what's gonna happen. I love this son of a bitch and what he says at the Seminole County meetings, but he needs to shut the fuck up. Everybody beat the shit out of him and he's fine. Good job.
There's probably some truth to that one. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
You got your Poison shirt on, I got my CM Punk shirt on. You get your we're on brand.
Who's cooler?
Brand, I guess.
Who's cooler? Give us a call.
Who's cooler? You know who's cooler is the Velveteen Dream, baby. He's just cool. It's very cool. We'll let you see him hanging out over at Chuck E. Cheese, Daddy, in that white van.
Dusty, I'm so sorry, Dusty. I'm sorry.
Listen here, I don't care about no Dusty. I care about the Velveteen Dream, Daddy. The Velveteen Dream is over here, Daddy, hanging out on your TikTok account.
Ready to send you some, no, Snapchat.
I got a, I got a freezer full of popsicles for you, Daddy. Come on. Come on over. Let's hear some K-pop. Okay, Daddy?
Oh, man.
You and me be having some hard times in this white van over here, Daddy.
Would that be called the dream van?
It's the dream machine, Daddy.
Dream machine.
It is. I don't care nothing about no Scooby-Doo,
no
Daddy.
No mystery machine in this.
Who was it? Oh, Zoinks, Daddy. It was Velveteen Dream in the van by the school. We solved another mystery, Scoob.
You know the kids.
I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't even for you and that talking dog, Daddy. See, as you try, I have no idea if anybody listening to this podcast thinks this shit's funny. I just have no idea. But it's
yeah, I'm sure a few people is going to click. But
and we're pumping the boy. I don't care as long as we're pumping the boys. Right. Damn, I don't right, care.
Vince. Damn right, Vince.
Let's see here. Who this is. Oh, my goodness. It's Matt Gaetz in the van out by the Chuck E. Cheese, Daddy. We solved the mystery. We solved the mystery with the Venmo, Daddy.
How did you know it was Gaetz? Oh, you can see his forehead from that far away. I know.
That's right. You can see his five head from all.
The five head, yes.
from six counties away, and Drake Worth was over there talking about how the mask helps protect him, Daddy.
Of course, the mask.
Wirtz had been important. DeVee had been trained at the WWE Performance Center since 2017. Duke had been since 2018. Judge since 2019 and Bourne since 2016. Oh, speaking of pedophiles, Matt Bourne apparently. Oh no, it's a different.
No, sorry. No, wrong Bourne there.
I was listening to Arn Anderson talk about this. I didn't even know about this story until recently because Jim Cornette just alluded to it. They were like, "All right, we're going to send you guys to Atlanta. It's going to be Arn and Matt Bourne, and you guys are going to like. They're going to give you the NWA National Tag Team Champions. And they're going to give you a huge push, and you're going to be like the little girl's going to lobby. Sweet. And then Bourne gets caught doing whatever he's doing that involved perhaps.
Loving the little girl.
That's right, Daddy. I was over there. And then they were like, oh, well, I guess we can't have you and Arn over here. So,
yeah.
And then Ole started looking around these gyms in Minneapolis like, oh, look, it's these two guys I can turn into this Road Warrior gimmick. That movie just came out. Hang on. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do this Mike and this Joe guy. Come on down to Atlanta. We'll start giving you guys the push. And that's how the Road Warriors essentially were born.
That might work.
Because, Matt Bourne wasn't checking IDs or whatever.
I did see Arn Anderson. What?
Oh, Arn Anderson's going to be at WrestleCade.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yep, yep. Just saw that.
But anybody thinks we're slandering Matt Bourne, fuck it, he's dead. You can't slander dead people, so.
Try Google it. Google slander.
In your faith, Daddy. The Velveteen drink strikes again.
Again.
Story, who previously worked under the name Brandi Lauren in Evolve, had started with the company in October. Oh, she was Brandi Lauren? I liked her.
Who that?
That Story chick that just got fired. What's her name?
Oh, yeah.
Skylar Story. She was the artist formerly known as Brandi Lauren.
Okay.
They would have liked her.
I've heard of her. I don't really know her that well.
Hang on. I got to go look at it. I got to stand by. I got to check out these pictures because I think she is who I... Yeah. She's like somebody I figured they would have loved.
Why?
She's got she's got a fantastic look to her, and then I figured they would have just like dug the shit out of her. But no, it's weird where Vince's horniness proclivities go to. Like, if he ever found anybody that looked exactly like...
Rina Miro?
Yeah. Ever again, right? And like from
seems
what I
hear, the goal.
90% of that was Russo just like fantasizing about Rina Miro's panties or whatever, right?
I'm sure.
And that sounds because he's such a sexually arrested piece of shit, that guy.
Well, even Marie's coming back, so that tells you a little something.
Well, I'm sure she's learned to work now. Cough.
Emelina on line two.
it just never worked. It's like they never could understand that Emelina could like really work and do stuff in the ring. No,
I know.
No, bro.
I know.
We just want you to. I don't want you to do is to be exactly like Rita Mira. God damn.
They're such sexually arrested individuals.
Running
I'll show
off.
You a picture. Yeah, Vince, why are you running people off and shit, Daddy? You run off the Velveteen. Here's Skylar's story.
Let's see, Skylar.
I think you'll be, yeah. See?
Okay. She's a little Becky Lynch-ish in the face.
She looks a little young. That's why the Velveteen Dream was high on a day. Yeah, yeah. I don't understand how, like, I don't get it. I mean, obviously, I don't have any idea.
I don't know. I'm assuming she can work. Apparently, you've seen her. So, yeah.
I think she's fine. I think she's – I didn't think she was spectacular, but also didn't think she was, like, you know, a detriment to the profession or whatever. I thought she was very coachable. Sure. And some of the stuff I thought she could do fine. But then again – you know, you wonder why certain women are stuck in certain positions in ROH for 10 years or whatever, right?
Right.
You wonder why old Kick-Ass is still down there, and you wonder why Taylor Hendricks never made the step up, and you wonder about all this shit, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if they've got sweet office jobs in the Baltimore area that are paying nice benefits or anything like that. I don't know.
Who knows, man? I just can't. I don't know. I'm a little surprised I hadn't really seen her, but like I said, I've seen her name, heard her name.
There it is.
How
is that not? Yeah, how's she not marketable? How is that not like Vince? Another.
I tell you what, as I get older, it's just hard for me to get a boner over these chicks anymore.
Yeah, she looks almost like so hard. She looks like Nicole Kidman a little bit in that picture.
I need somebody who looks like the Ultimate Warrior. The Ultimate
Warrior. I know.
Get in here,
Pendo. Oh, Lord.
You're going to be the Ultimate Lover. Get ready.
I'm doing Ultimate Warrior on A&E coming up on Sunday night. There was some sort of discussion on, you know, Conrad, of course, with his 75 podcasts a week, he does an episode of The Jarrett Show, and then on The Jarrett Feed, you get an interview with Evan and Jason, the guys that created Dark Side of the Ring, and they just went over the last episode. The collision in Korea, and then they were previewing the Ultimate Warrior one, and they postulated perhaps A&E when it was on the schedule originally, they had said that they weren't going to put the Ultimate Warrior in this spot, but they figured since the Dark Side of the Ring with Ultimate Warrior is coming up, they were like, we're just going to beat him to the punch. So it's going to be Ultimate Warrior week on cable TV with the A&E documentary. And then Dark Side of the Ring.
Is that the one next week? Is that the one next week? Ultimate Warrior? Okay.
Yeah. And then they're doing Dark Side of the Ring doing A&E's biography on Sunday. And then Conrad just teasingly asked him, he says, like, what do you think it'll be favorable toward him? And they're like, we don't know. And Conrad goes, no, they're not going to bury him because they've got an award named after him. They've got the Warrior Award, so they're going to treat him with kid gloves on the A&E one because that's the one with the cooperation of the WWE. Sure.
That's a Peacock Network too, right?
I don't know about no. That's just on A&E. They're not doing it. It's not going to be on the WWE's content per se.
Well, I mean, isn't like part of the parent company is what I'm saying. Isn't that part of USA and all that stuff?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think they've just
maybe they're not.
I'm not sure because you know they just had that thing where they merged a bunch of the. Oh, they merged a bunch of the networks together with the Discover thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're doing all that content with the treasure hunt and all that stuff. It's part of the Hearst Communications and the Walt Disney Company, a joint venture.
Gotcha.
There's a Hearst. You know, the Whitmires are somehow married into the Hearst family, supposedly.
I knew you were an elitist.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that money, so that wasn't us. But there's apparently there's like a big castle up near San Francisco, the Hearst used to live in, and there's one of the bricks says Whitmire on it because I think one of the people that the Hearst banged and reproduced with was named Whitmire.
I'd be looking at some like money that people hadn't claimed yet, you know.
Kind be of nice, stuff, right?
You know.
There's a guy named David Whitmire Hearst Jr. who's one of the richest people in the world. He's part of the deal.
What's your brother's name? Okay.
That's exactly. It's not that. He's the 250th richest man in something. And he's worth the $1.9 billion. So, and again, I haven't seen any of that at all.
Go get yours, dog.
Dog, yeah, that's mine. I don't need any of that stuff because I'm not going through any hard times, Daddy. I just put my mask on and I go molest some kids. That's what I do, Daddy.
Not that dream.
Did you ever see the Dream Machine in Memphis?
The Dream Machine.
You got to go back and look at some of that because it's a guy who basically does the American Dream kind of gimmick. And he's like a
– oh, shit.
It's pretty funny. He wears a mask and everything. His name's Troy something or other. He's pretty good. Memphis wrestling is very, very interesting. So, yeah, he talks – Evan and Jason were talking about the – talking about, you know, A&E's version of the Ultimate Warrior versus theirs. And I guess we're going to get the real version of the Ultimate Warrior on Wednesday, but the shitty version on Sunday, the cleaned-up version on Sunday.
Yeah, I think I'd much rather see the Dark Side of the Ring version of this. I don't want to see that dude all you know, gussied up for this shit. You know that that kid glove stuff you're talking about. F that, man. He's an asshole. I'm sorry. You shouldn't talk about the dead like that. But he.
Yeah, no, you're fine. You got a rich. You're fine. You're not going too far.
Well, yeah, I'm just call it like I see it.
As I've been turning Dusty Rhodes into a pedophile for the past
few years. Well, yeah.
Not really.
Not really, but you know.
No, yeah, not really.
There's a respect factor there.
I was doing Velveteen Dream, which is totally different.
Of course.
What did you see the collision in North Korea? Have you seen that episode yet?
No, I have not yet. It's been a crazy week. I have not caught it.
It's pretty good.
What'd you think? It looked like it got pretty good reviews from some people I saw that talked about it or whatever. I don't know. I just want to see it because it's one of those things I really don't know a whole lot about, you know?
Yeah, you'll get a great education. Scott Flash Norton is pretty much your star of the entire thing. He's one of the better ones in terms of him kind of coming out of left field. And then there's a subplot with Scorpio Sky trying to murder the Ultimate Warrior, Hawk, the Road Warrior Hawk.
Trying to murder?
Yeah. Road Warrior Hawk was not.
C-I-L-L, dead?
C-I-L-L, my landlord. Yes. There was a confrontation about something. Oh, because Hawk was riding with Ric Flair about something, and riding around, and then eventually Hawk gets on the bus with all the other wrestlers, and then Scorpio Sky said something to him. And Scorpio Sky felt that Ric Flair was to blame for him getting fired several years earlier from World Championship Wrestling. So
is that right?
That heat transferred from Ric Flair to Hawk and then Scorpio Sky's mad at him. And then
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Do you mean Too Cold Scorpio or is this Scorpio Sky? Okay.
Too Cold Scorpio.
I was confused. Okay.
It's the great Too Cold Scorpio. Because I don't know, Scorpio Sky was like two when this happened.
I didn't realize he was an asshole like that. But go ahead.
No, Too Cold. And so there's a confrontation, and Mike, Road Warrior Hawk, is taking the interferon because he has hepatitis or something. So his energy levels are down, and he's grumpy and stuff, and he can't take the steroids, so he's not happy. And he snaps at Scorpio Sky.
Uh-oh.
No, he snaps at Too Cold Scorpio. I see what I did there. And ends up using the N-word, and there's an altercation, and Scorpio Sky hits, according to his own calculations, he hits him a bunch of times, and then Mike gets a couple of cheap shots in, and then they're separated. And then they have this scene at dinner where they give them like these beautiful stainless steel chopsticks in North Korea, and Too Cold Scorpio drops one of them and then pockets it, drops another one, then pockets it, and he takes him back to his room and he's sharpening him to make a shiv. He's going to take them together and he's going to stab Mike Hegstrom.
So, really? So he's out looking for damn, like they're in prison and shit. You know, he's trying to
He's prison Mike.
Yeah, he's trying to go back and shiv his ass.
He's going to shiv his ass. And he's like, apparently his dad was in prison. He knows how to make shivs, which is, you know, I think it's such a, it's really important with Father's Day coming up. It's such an important skill for fathers to pass on to their sons.
Well, that's why I thought it was so rich for, you know, us to see that Aleister Black thing tonight, talking about father. You know, so,
what was that? That was, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Because they rawed SmackDown tonight.
They brought some SmackDown. They sure have.
They brought him some SmackDown. So he's sharpening up the chopsticks, and he's going to make them into a shiv, and then eventually they talk it out. And somebody says to him, they go, hey, Too Cold Scorpio, if you murder a man over here in North Korea, you're not going to get out of the country. They will keep you here forever, and they'll probably end up, like, raping you and taking your entrails and showing them to you before you die. And then it's not going to be a good thing for you. It's just not.
Yeah. Probably. That's what you call talking them down. Yeah.
So they were able to talk. I can't remember who it was. I don't even know. It might have been Benoit, ironically, who talks him down from murdering Mike. And then they.
How about that?
They have a heart to heart, Road Warrior Hawk and Too Cold Scorpio. And then they were like, I tell you what, we'll just go ahead and we'll. Pause this for now, but if you want to fuck each other up when we get to Japan, we can do it. We can beat the shit out of each other and settle this. Mm. And the whole thing was squashed.
Now was Scorpio interviewed in this, or was this? Yes. Okay.
Double Cold Scorpio is interviewed throughout the entire thing.
Gotcha.
And still, it looks very different than what he did when he was wrestling. Scott Norton doesn't look bad. Scott Norton still looks really good. You know, Scott Norton made a lot of money in Japan.
Yeah, he did.
And I believe he's part of that Minnesota crew of all those guys that came out of, I don't know if it was Robbinsdale per se, but it was, you know.
Up in that area,
Hawk and Animal and Kurt Hennig and Diamond Rude. Dallas Page was one of those guys. Rick Rude was another one of those guys, absolutely. And him, there was just and I think Bill Eadie was one of those dudes.
Really? He was up there? Yeah,
I believe Bill Eadie was up there from maybe a previous generation. Obviously. I thought
he was from Ohio for some reason. Maybe.
It might have been.
But you're probably right. I don't know why I thought that.
You always enjoy this story about seeing him at WrestleCade when I saw him. And yes. my fantasy football team after me thought that was really good.
That was perfect. See, that's the shit. That's why I like WrestleCade. Yeah. To go up and tell people like that shit like that.
Right.
Just like the whole Kane thing, having him sign this shirt. I mean, that's what it's there for. Not this shirt, but the one I have on. But the Katie Vick is alive shirt. Kane signed that shirt. Goddamn,
you can't really put a price tag on that.
That's why I like WrestleCade. But yes, that was awesome.
Kudos to Bryant Williams for pointing out that Axe was a teacher and coach at Cambridge High School in Cambridge, Ohio, and at East Liverpool, Ohio. Originally listed as being from Brownsville, Georgia. So take him off the list of the Minnesota crew. Boom. There you are.
Try to downplay homeboy over here. Don't give me any cred.
All right, let's do SmackDown, which is WWE's most watchable show. Watchable show these days, which isn't saying a whole lot. But the main event was a fatal four-way match between Apollo Crews, Big E, Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens for that Intercontinental Championship, which at least you give them – I mean, I do give them this much credit. Is that they tried to build that thing up and make it look like it was a big deal. And to an extent, they succeeded in making it look like it was a big deal.
It was decent for what it was, I thought. I mean, it was watchable. I mean, but look who you had in there. You know, that certainly helped. Four guys that knew what the freak they're doing, pretty much, you know.
Sonya Deville was standing in the ring to start SmackDown. She announced that World Wrestling Entertainment is going back on the road in July, surprisingly in Texas.
How about that? My shock.
Yeah, I had no idea. Bill talked about the current champions. All of the champions except for Roman were standing on the stage. She introduced each one as part of the Parade of Champions. That's the Parade of Champions. Deville got to Apollo Crews, but Commander Aziz demanded they cut the music. He handed the mic to Crews. They haven't really used Commander Aziz to his best use yet, have they? His best utilization?
No. I think it's you know, he's probably a little bit slow coming along, unlike what's Omos?
Oh yeah, Edward James Omos.
Edward James Omos, yes.
For those of you that are watching, it's nice. It's a real privilege for me to talk to Hall of Famer Sally Jesse Raphael. I'm enjoying all of that. Thank you. Sally Jesse, I really enjoyed all of your shows, especially the radio stuff.
Jesus.
You know, when Rush Limbaugh was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, she roasted his ass, and it was so inappropriate and awful and all this other shit. Speaking of people that people that won't die.
Yeah.
I saw this article this week. You know, there's some stations that are still showing or still playing the stupid Rush Limbaugh reruns. He's been dead since February. Okay.
Why?
There was a station, I think in California, maybe near Bakersfield or something. And they were like, okay, we're dropping the show. We're going to finally, after 3 months, we've decided we're going to put somebody else in there. I mean, we had no warning. He wasn't like sick with cancer for a year and kept warning us every other week that he was going to die. But, you know, this thing just came out of the blue right after Valentine's Day. We've decided to replace somebody and we're going to get him on. The station across town goes, oh, if you're dropping Rush, we'll take him. We'll take the dead guy.
Oh, God.
And the radio business wonders why.
Seriously, who wants to listen to old? I mean, it's bad enough to listen to him live when he was alive. Brian, why would you listen to old rehash shit that's not even stuff that is not even relevant anymore? You know,
I've been listening, and I want to see how this Benghazi thing turns out. Number one,
maybe it'll turn out different this time.
There's some Paula Jones shit. I'm not sure where that's going, so I gotta hear him tie up that whole situation. So I have to listen. It's really great serial content.
Yeah, there's a lot of loose ends out there. I guess you do need to probably tie
wish
up.
You would stop laughing at this whole situation because it's really he's got some great shit. Great shit, pal. There's some great shit.
Shit, you got that right.
So, and like the radio business wonders why they're in the shitter. They're like in a massive divot right now. I was seeing these things also.
That's horrible.
Like the people that are still cheerleading for radio, they're like, you know, the radio listening levels are really bouncing back. We're seeing them really come back because they were in the shitter from COVID, which by all rights, they should have been through the roof during COVID. I mean,
I was going to say COVID, that should have been the least thing it affected.
Like you should have like millions because they're stuck. They're not driving obviously and doing stuff, but they're still stuck at home. And if you can entertain me in any way and you're free, shit, that's what's happened back during the Depression. Guess what happened? There were a lot of people not working. They had to stay at home. And goddamn, if they didn't listen to the radio a shit ton, it became a very, very popular thing. But now, oh, there's the internet and all this other shit. Plus they've cut down the entertainment value of anything on radio. So there's just nothing.
Yeah.
There's no reason to listen to it at all. Wait, I want to listen to music. They're going to play 20 in a row. Well, guess what? Pandora's paying $150 million in a row. So you lose, radio. You lose.
I'm going to get to hear the same stuff over and over. Come on.
I'm going to get to hear my favorite morning show talk for 10 minutes. Well, you can hear this podcast talk for an hour and be entertaining for an hour. So
at least in theory.
That's why we do things for an hour, baby. Called the dream. The dream got to go park that white van down by the playground, baby. Listen here, Mayor McCheese, you going through some hard times. Tell me on your fucking morning, on your morning zoo where somebody's going to make the American Dream Dusty Rhodes combine into the Velveteen Dream and become a pedophile. That's not happening. That's not happening on your home of rock and roll in Cody, Wyoming. Hello. It's not happening. Cruz noted he could lose the title without getting pinned in a fatal four-way in the main event. Isn't that like your favorite thing to hear like a heel talk about? Like, oh, it's not fair. I could lose my title without being pinned. They do that. It's a three-way or in like when they do the elimination chamber or whatever. I could lose my title. Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
But that's life, you know.
And then if it's a baby face, they say – you know, if it's a four, they tell them they're going to be in a fatal four way. It'll be like, well, that's fine. Bring them all on. I'll take
right.
10 of them, 12 of
that's
them.
Right.
Bring them on.
And they don't care. That's what you're supposed to do anyway.
Right. That's how the game goes.
Regardless, he promised to defeat all of them. DeVille thanked Cruz and then introduced the WWE Women's SmackDown champion, Bianca Belair. Deville then introduced the tribal chief and universal champion, Roman Reigns. Roman's old Shield music hit. I thought he just got some new music. Maybe they didn't like it.
I don't like that shit. What is that shit?
Well, boss, you told us to get some new music for him, and you liked it.
God, get like rid of it.
So when they changed Archer's music instead of whatever.
He's going to start rapping? He's gonna
do that whole new song, he came out, and I'm like, nobody likes that. Nobody knows the words, and nobody, you know, and so they went back to the...
That's funny.
What is it? I forgot what it is. What's up? Yeah, what's up?
Oh, you're going to go back to what's up? Yeah, they did. They changed it from the what's up to the new thing, and it was like, nah.
Didn't work. It's like
the
coke.
Paul Heyman walked out and said he mocked the Parade of Champions and said they're all just title holders. Reigns isn't a title holder. He's the preeminent champion of the WWE Universe. Heyman promised that the fans would gladly purchase tickets to see Reigns. Heyman noted Reigns would have his own Parade of Champions at his leisure, then walked off. Bayley jumped in the ring and noted that Belair used her ponytail to beat her. She demanded that Deville strip Belair of the title, which is funny because, like, I think Bayley also used the ponytail to punish Bianca Belair, didn't she? Didn't Bayley do that? Yeah. So you're not don't disqualify me for that. Belair said she heard enough, marched out of the ring. She got in Bayley's face, but Bayley backed off. She's a chicken shit heel. Bayley said it's not time. Ding dong, hello. Suddenly, Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax jumped Belair from behind. All three beat her down until Natty and Tamina jumped for the save. The heels overpowered the faces and beat all three down. They focused their beat down on Tamina.
You know what Bayley, I like about this match?
Nothing.
I like the way that Cole said had to explain why Shayna and Nia were there. You know, it not just can't oh, yes. say.
That's right. It's yeah, the quarterly. Little, it's like the exchange program, but it's
what
quarterly.
It was like trying to explain a tax bracket. Shit
oh, it's the dumbest. I mean, at this point, just stop. Just it's like if you're you know if your kid keeps coming home late for curfew and they're like they've gone through the oh I was out of gas oh I had to give a drunk driver thing and just fucking stop. Just shut with your bullshit at this point, right?
Come on now, just say we understand that you know Shayna and Nia are on Raw, but they're making a special appearance here. That's all you gotta say.
Here's another demographically appropriate reference. Like when Klinger would come up with the excuses for why he had to go back to Toledo. And remember, McLean Stevenson goes, oh, this is good. Mother dying, sister pregnant. This is one of my favorite. And he goes through like the list of 50. After a while, shut up. You know, you don't want to be in the army and you want to go home. Shut up. We know. Now just get back in there and start serving.
Klinger's over there going, mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
As he's going down, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bayley, Nia Jax, and Shayna Baszler defeating Bianca Belair, Natty, and Tamina. This was a good match.
Really?
That's what it says. I'm just reading.
What was the purpose of this match? I mean, I don't understand the outcome. Why would you want the people who just lost the belt to get the victory? I mean, if it was like if Bayley was the one that pinned her because they're trying to push Bayley back up again, could almost see that. But it was like
Natty
Shayna
took the pin.
Took the pin from Shayna. Yeah, from Shayna. So, I mean, that just made no sense to me.
That's 50-50 booking.
Whatever.
I think that's 50-50 booking. They got the title, so now they got their win back, and everybody's all square.
All right, yeah, on to the next.
So we had to use the talent exchange program, and we have not violated the rules. It's once per quarter.
Explain that now, one more time for me.
Is it once per quarter for, like, any superstar from one of the other programs, or is it just these specific people, and they can't come back until next quarter?
Those are the ones, just Nia and Shayna are quarterly. I think, like, if I'm not mistaken, like Drew McIntyre is every two-thirds of the year.
He's on the two-thirds-a-year plan?
Yeah, because he's, you know, he's got more clout.
This is like the mist that comes out of Muta's mouth. If it's yellow, it blinds you. If it's green, it does this to you. If it's blue, if it's red, you know, it's like it's stupid shit. No, there's no purpose
just,
for this match.
I was just, when he was going over, I just thought that was the stupidest thing.
In the back, Caleb Braxton interviewed Big E. Oh, did you see the pictures of Sarah Schreiber on Instagram in her swimsuit?
I have not.
Oh, hot. Oh, my God. Sarah Schreiber and Kayla Braxton are so fucking low-key hot. It's crazy. It's stupid how hot those girls are without even really trying. It's so stupid.
Yes, I totally agree.
In the back, Caleb Braxton interviewed Big E about his upcoming match. He's extremely positive. He noted Big E's in a good mood. He noted he's going to be in the ring with dogs. Big E promised to win the Intercontinental Championship later. More on that in a moment. Aleister Black. Oh, here's some foreshadowing.
Here we go.
As they say in Memphis, angle alert.
Here's what we're going to do. Right after the black guy talks, he's so positive. We're going to have a white guy who looks like he's part of, I don't know, the Klan or maybe some Nazi uprising. He's going to read some shit. How about that?
At least they don't. At least Alexa isn't part of the Lexi isn't part of the talent exchange.
I think her contract says that she can't go for the whole year. You know,
so they can't have hot.
She's completely banned from SmackDown.
I wish she was banned from Raw at this point, at least as she is now.
Gotta tell you.
She could be banned from Raw, NXT, The Bump, Superstars. She could be banned from all of it, as far as I'm concerned, with this bullshit that she is now.
Yeah, it's almost funny? It's almost like she doesn't even care. She's got her man that she parades around on Instagram all the time and shit. So, you know, she's on cloud nine. She's rocking some big paydays, I'm sure, all the time in WWE. So, you know, who cares? Who cares? She's out there acting like a fool with a doll, like she's on Impact.
Isn't it weird? Who was the chick? Do you know who the chick was that came up with the Varsity Blondes on Dynamite?
Who was that? I want to say she's
Julie something or other, but I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember the name. I know who you're talking about though.
It's like she's Julia Hart is her name. Julia Hart, not Julie Hart, which I think is Bret Hart's ex-wife. Julie Hart. So we can't have hot Lexi back. We can't. But we get a version of her with that chick that comes out with the Varsity Blondes on Wednesday, right? Did that not look like somewhat of a great facsimile of hot Lexi?
That was pretty close.
Versus this weird ass thing that doesn't do anything on Monday nights except
right interrupt now, and laugh. Right now I'll take Julia Stiles or who you know who whatever her name is. What's her name?
Julia. I'll take Julia Gulia, the wedding singer.
Julia Gulia. Yeah, her. Julie Gulie. I'll take her, but yeah.
We can't have hot Lexi back, but at least we have that chick that came out with the Varsity Blondes who are getting more and more offensive. I think they may be – let me just – a word of caution to our friend Tony Khan and all those right-wingers over at AEW Dynamite. You might be playing up the dark side of the ring thing about Pillman just a tad too much. We may have reached apex on that. We may need a moratorium on that whole situation because they're essentially like going, hey, we're giving the kid a push because his dad's dead. Everybody good with that? That's basically what they're just screaming to all of them. That's basically what they're saying.
Doing some back padding, like our boys up in Connecticut do when it just comes time to, you know.
You could be halfway subtle about it. You could, because I like the Varsity Blondes gimmick. I like because we were again watching this with the girlfriend who gives me the best insight ever on the show. She gives me the best insight. First of all, she had informed me that that amazing thing that Jade Cargill was wearing was not a dress. It's a really? Top and it's a skirt separate, but it's extremely 80s. And I don't know how Jade Cargill even came close to getting in that thing. I have no idea how she got in that thing at all.
Yeah.
And she could have done without the shoulder pads, which were, you know, straight out of Melanie Griffith Working Girl.
Yeah, right? I was giving her like Sheena Easton, but yeah.
But she still, by the way, these are minor quibbles. Jade Cargill looked hot as balls in that outfit. God, yeah. was amazing. She's just amazing.
She's like that far from being flawless. She really is. Oh,
she's fantastic. She's such fucking money. And you would right now, you can just imagine like Vince trying to make her into the second China and fucking it up completely, right?
Completely. Just fucking trash bagging it.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put her in the ring with Nia. That's going to be fantastic. We're going to build to it. And then Nia breaks her face. And
I get ready seconds, to say the same.
And then she's thing. Out for 5 months, right?
Yes.
The other insight that we got with the Varsity Blondes was like, okay, so they're the faces in this match. But wait, mm-hmm. The Varsity Blondes are wearing Varsity Jacket, and high school jocks – are like the biggest assholes. So there's a little bit of a mixed
message. Are they still these days?
I think that's always been shorthand. Certainly when you and I were coming of age, in all the John Hughes movies and Back to the Future and all that shit, the jocks are always.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Very bad people. Always. Yes. So you have a little, there's a little bit of an issue there. I'm not, it's just a minor quibble. I'm still down with the act. They can still work their asses off. They give them lots of offense for baby faces. And I think they're headed in the right direction with those guys. Mm-hmm. So I
hope fine, so.
Those are just minor quibbles.
Yeah.
We'll get but back.
Good insight. There is some good insight. I'm impressed.
She does well. I know she does very well with that whole situation. And we got back to, she's like, really? Are they bad people for wearing the Jordans in the ring? Oh yeah. I'm like, you're an asshole if you're just wearing those things to wrestling, because those are, you know, $350-$400 shoes.
Right.
And then the beauty of Moxley and Kingston stealing their shoes, this is fantastic. I'll give them all that. That's a bit of brilliance.
That's so Bucks, Omega, and Moxley though. You know,
that the week previous, obviously having the blood on the Jordans was wonderful. I mean, all of that was great.
I like that too.
You know, there's been speculation and there's been some stories that the vice presidents among All Elite Wrestling's programming, they're not talking with each other. They're not very communicative with each other. Maybe quite standoffish towards.
Is that
each
right?
Other.
Is
yeah.
That right? I mean, AEW's going to be folding here pretty soon. Is that what's going on?
I don't think so. Well, not with, you know, the move over to TBS, which I'm sure you copied this week, right?
I copied and roger that, yes.
That and then honestly, it's more me. I shit on AEW as much as anybody, but for anybody who goes, well, look, it just shows how they're failing. Really? Is TBS in a lot less homes than TNT? Did I miss that?
I mean, know. Was that the whole plan all along? You think was to get their feet wet on TNT and then throwing them on TBS once they get established?
Everything changed in that last minute Vince McMahon-esque bid on the NHL rights. So they got to have somewhere to put that shit. So it makes more sense for them to be on TBS. It's not going to be a net negative for them to be on TBS at all. It's going to
no. It's not a negative at all. It's just I don't understand how they would do that. I mean, TBS just seems like not TBS's gig, you know.
Do you think as far as the actual, you know, the branding, is it a better fit on TNT than it is on TBS?
I think so. I mean, to be honest, I think it's weird on both channels, on both stations. See. I think I've just kind of gotten used to it on TNT, and I've noticed a lot of times they will lead into either a rock movie or some sort of Fast like and Furious movie.
An action movie of some sort.
An action movie of some sort, exactly. So, you know, I can see where it fits in that way, but like TBS is like a comedy station. You know,
it's where I get my Seinfeld reruns. It's where I can go see Conan.
Yep. All right. Big Bang, all that stuff.
And then the haters were giving some chicken soup for their soul. AEW Dynamite drawing the lowest rating since the NXT move. AEW Dynamite averaging 821,000 viewers on TNT on Wednesday, down 12% from the previous week. Lowest viewership for the show since April the 7th. In the 1849 demo, they drew 0.28, down 12.3%. That ties the lowest mark for the show since March 31st. Well, I mean, part of this is also they've been doing some hotshot shit lately with Blood and Guts and with having Mike Tyson on and stuff like that. So, yeah, if you get back to a regular episode and people are like trying to tune in and going, hey, where's the guy being thrown off the cage? Or where's Mike Tyson? Or where's Shaquille O'Neal? And they don't see him, then it's going to be like, oh, I thought we were going to have Shaquille O'Neal or Mike Tyson or, you know, a 48-year-old man being tossed off the top of a cage every week.
That's a great point, man. That's a great point.
That's part of the hotshot stuff that they do, and that's part of the problem. And I'm not shitting on them because they've drawn great ratings, and there were times when it was the number one show a couple weeks ago. I think it was the number one show on cable TV during that time. So, you know, God bless them and kudos. But then if you start hotshotting this stuff and you're not getting into a rhythm, then, you know.
Well, I don't know if fickle is the right word, but wrestling fans are, I guess, fickle about stuff like that anymore, especially, I think, nowadays. They're real non-receptive to a normal show, a regular old, you know,
it's
TBS,
not,
it's Saturday
not even
night.
The- It's not even
show,
the,
you know?
The it's not even the heavy consumers that I'm worried about. Like, you and I are going to watch. It's the other people that are like, I'll see what it is. Or they're just kind of flipping through and they see it.
And then, well, those are the wrestling fans that I'm talking about. Not you and I.
Yeah, like the casual ones. Yeah.
Right, right.
In the 10 weeks prior to NXT moving to Tuesdays, Dynamite averaged 775,000 viewers and a 0.30 rating. So this week's Dynamite drawing higher viewership than that average is likely older viewers who will watch NXT on Wednesdays. Now, they do have a problem coming up with the NBA playoffs. I mean, the NBA playoffs could be a huge issue for them, yeah. Because but it also could help them out because it's a cross-promotional opportunity if TNT chooses to do that, which, as you and I have pointed out in the past, they've been reticent to really promote AEW that much during the NBA programming.
Well, you know what? It just hit me. And I guess they're doing – I really hadn't noticed this season. But I guess TBS used to – I know in the last few years they would show baseball.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like, the Braves, but just, you know, random
Sunday
baseball
afternoons
games.
Or something like that.
Stuff like that.
It was like their thing.
So I guess, you know, that mixes a little – at least there's a sporting event that they do show on TBS. So wrestling
the big deal about the NBA playoffs is you're going to have NBA playoffs not inside that bubble like you did last year. You're going to have them actual, like, in arenas like,
yeah.
In Dallas and then LA and different places like that. So that's going to be the real big thing. So if you do get, I just, in the past, which only goes back to last summer, I didn't think that the NBA stuff on TNT promoted AEW all that well and didn't go to great lengths to do much of that.
What did you like? Watch a lot of TNT just to see if they would.
I would
show
see it. Yeah, I would see this. It's very popular. It's a very popular program among younger and older demographics. The Ernie Johnson show with Shaquille and stuff. Obviously, they've had Shaquille on AEW Dynamite and stuff, and they've done angles with him and stuff. But I haven't seen. I just wouldn't see a lot of cross promotion, and it's valuable.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of cross promotion. Now I did see some promos. Now, you know, like little what's coming up this week on Dynamite stuff. Or just saying, you know, a little 30-second promo or just advertising. But I never saw any cross-promotion like Ernie
nice
and the guy talking about it. Yeah.
Next week, Dynamite will air at Friday on 10 Eastern due to a scheduling conflict with the NBA playoffs. There you go.
There you go.
Back to SmackDown. Aleister Black read from the Tales of the Dark Father, again, Black read from the next chapter of The Beautiful Pain. It focused on a story behind his tattoos and the lessons his father taught him. He said, the people are sick and dying animals. It's time to separate the weak from the strong. Ouch. Shinsuke Nakamura over King Corbin. Giving Shinsuke a mini push right now, right?
Yeah, but didn't they do this a few months ago just for about a month and then it was back to the cellar?
In the back, Jimmy Uso approached Sonny Deville. Noted the Usos are ready to get back into the tag team division. Jimmy wants the smoke. Deville asked if Jimmy's sure that Jay is ready to reform the team. Jimmy's certain that Jay's got his back. Deville agreed. It's the Usos versus the Street Profits next week on SmackDown. Be there.
Speaking of smoke, I wonder if Rob Van Dam is going to be at WrestleKate again this year.
With his 420 rolling papers?
It's a collector's item.
World Wrestling Entertainment Hall of Famer Robert Van Dam.
Robert Van Dam.
In the back, Kevin Owens talks about the Fatal 4-Way match tonight. He promised to win the match and become a three-time Intercontinental Champion. Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, and Paul Heyman. Universal Champion Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, and Jey Uso made their way to the ring. They recapped events, beating Reigns beating Cesaro to retain the title at WrestleMania Backlash. It also included the post-match beatdown. They piped in loud Roman sucks chants. He called himself a humble man, Reigns did. Didn't like to brag on live television. Instead, he's going to let his advisor, Heyman, celebrate him. Heyman was excited to thank Reigns for the surprise. Heyman pointed out that Roman sent the Fiend to Raw, pinned Kevin Owens, and made history when he pinned Daniel Bryan and Edge at the same time. Heyman noted that Edge hasn't been back since WrestleMania, and Reigns ended Bryan's career. Excuse me. He praised Reigns for beating Cesaro on his own. Heyman said it's a career highlight to acknowledge Reigns. Heyman noted he'd do anything for Reigns. He asked Reigns what he wants to do for him next. Reigns demanded to see his cousin. Heyman yelled for Jimmy Uso to come to the ring. Cesaro's music came in out, and he came out with his arm in a sling. Reigns demanded they cut off his music. Cesaro noted he's looking for Seth Rollins in the back. He heard Reigns talking, so he decided to come out. Cesaro demanded another title shot and challenged Reigns to a match at Hell in a Cell. Reigns laughed and asked if he should break Cesaro's other arm. Suddenly, Seth Rollins jumped Cesaro and attacked the arm. He viciously beat him around ringside. Referees and officials ran out and separated them. Rollins ran to the back and continued the attack. He hit the curb stomp on Cesaro at ringside. Referees and officials pulled Rollins off again. Rollins walked away but came back and hit one more curb stomp on the ramp. Medical personnel ran out with a stretcher. Reigns and Heyman were great in this segment. Back from the break, they recap Rollins attacking Cesaro in the back. EMTs were taking Cesaro away on a stretcher. When Rollins ran over to him, he yelled at Cesaro. Rollins blamed him for making Rollins act like this. Dominic Mysterio defeats Robert Roode with Dolph Ziggler. It was a fun short match, writes Wrestling Observer.
It was a short match.
In the back, James Uso approaches Jey Uso. Jimmy celebrated and noted they got a match with the Street Profits. Jey didn't like that Jimmy made the match without asking him. Jimmy noted Jey won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal without Roman Reigns. Jey thought about it, decided he needs to tell Reigns about that match next week. Yeah, how would Roman find out about it if he doesn't tell him? I mean, it's not like it was on a TV show that he's on or anything.
I know.
I'm glad they're going to tell him.
I know.
Mr. Miguel Cole. Oh, Marty and Sarah were noticing, and maybe you have too, that now Michael Cole is having to stand up more because Pat McAfee likes to stand up quite a bit.
I haven't noticed that.
Yeah, he's doing, and then Cole will fake it by putting like one knee on the chair. Like, okay, I'll do it. Fuck it. You know, just to do like the least amount of possible to make it look like he's actually standing up.
Oh, no, I really haven't noticed that at all.
Do you think the Pat McAfee thing is going well? The Pat McAfee experiment? I think it's okay. I think he's all right.
I think it's okay. Like I said last week, I think he had a rough SmackDown last week, but this week he was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, I think he's going to do okay.
Yeah, I think he'll be – ultimately, I think he'll be all right. He seems to have his shit together.
In the back, Jey Uso approached Roman Reigns in his dressing room. Jey pointed out that Jimmy made the match without asking him. Ray talked about everything they've done together. Reigns, rather, talked about everything they've done together. Reigns whispered to Jey's ear and walked off. The Street Profits talked about the Usos in the back. They mocked the Usos and promised to defeat them next week. You know what would be just tits? What? If the Usos came back in their old gear with the yellow and or the orange and the blue shorts and all that shit.
Yeah.
They did the dance. Oh, that would be the shit if they did that next week, man. That would be,
yeah.
I would die. Ah. I would pop like, oh, I'd go crazy.
Well, you know, they could. I mean, with the whole family thing, I mean, that would make sense almost, you know?
Behind the curtain, Caleb Braxton approached Sami Zayn. He called her a corporate hack, and he knows what she's trying to do. Okay, well, that was kind of funny. I mean, the whole gimmick about the conspiracy shit is bullshit, but that wasn't bad. That was okay.
I'm just not into it, dude.
It's overall, it's played out. Zayn promised to regain his title tonight. They announced Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler against WWE Women's Tag Team Champions Natty and Tamina on Raw this Monday. Fatal four-way. Between Apollo Crews, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Big E, I will save you all of the fun of this one. The white guy, Aleister Black, comes out, kicks Big E under the chin, and then Apollo Crews then pins him and retains his Intercontinental Champion. So there you go. Saved by the white guy again, Bryant.
Well, you know, what would this world be without, you know, getting saved by the white guy?
What would this world be without zombies? Tell me about the zombies at WrestleMania Backlash, Bryant.
That was just fucking horrible. Other than that, I enjoyed the pay-per-view. It wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't great, but it was pretty good. But that one thing was just the worst. It just stood out like a sore thumb, man.
It takes you out of it. There are various things over the years that make you embarrassed to be a wrestling fan to try to explain
that's one
it to
of
your, and you were like, I mean, we've named this podcast obviously after one of them. So, but that one to me was like, yeah, I don't understand.
I mean, I get it. I get that there's a movie coming out, you know, and all that, but God, there's just a time and a place, and it's just not. It's I'm sorry. It,
the time and
but
place.
But you got other people going, well, it's a perfect place for it. Wrestling's a perfect place for it because it's fake.
The time and the place for that is not on my TV screen at any other time.
Exactly.
That is the time. That is the time and the place for those things.
Yeah, that was
pointless. It was like the dumbest shit of all time. I can't even believe it.
Trying to be all scared and shit. Nah, God dang, it was just horrible.
Moose signs a new contract with Impact Wrestling, Bryant.
Yay!
Are you excited about Moose Ojinaka again toiling for a few more years in obscurity over on Impact Wrestling?
Sure. Jeez. I think it's good. I think it builds character.
It's terrible.
Not builds a character, but builds character.
Builds character. He's got character cut his ass at this point.
He's got character coming out of every freaking orifice of his body.
That's right. Regarding talk of John Cena being on the first WWE show back with fans on July the 16th, David Meltzer is being told this is being discussed.
Oh, is that right?
Jonathan Cena and his hefty trash bags could be there July the 16th, either in Dallas or Houston. I can't remember which one's which.
I just don't.
One of them's going to be.
You know, if he doesn't go away, how can we miss him? That's what I'm saying.
He's been away for a while.
From WWE, but see him everywhere else.
Ringside News reporting a 7-figure payday. Warner Brothers to WWE for the zombies to be on WrestleMania Backlash in some form. Sources have confirmed that Nick Khan, the man with the plan, the man with the power, too sweet to be sour, the man who really brokered the Peacock deal, Nick Khan, more than $1 million Warner Brothers paid to have those stupid fucking zombies mess up WrestleMania Backlash and render that match completely stupid.
Who honestly thought that was good? Some little freaking.
I did. When I looked at my bank account, I said, God, dude, that's good. Look at all those zeros in that bank account. God damn it. That's going to make up for all the money
you,
that Hunter, I lost.
What do you think?
That's going to make up for all the zeros that I lost on the XFL. No, it's not. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
That is remarkable. I got to look at that story. See, I don't even know what they're.
But that makes so much sense, though, man. It really does.
It does.
With who we're working with here.
Ringside News has learned that WWE President Nick Khan spearheaded the sponsorship from Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead film. I had no idea. This was a massive. We were told
the whole Batista thing.
Batista's in that movie?
Yeah.
So this is the great. This is fun, but this is I haven't seen the tweet. What was the tweet?
Batista tweeted on the day of the pay per view. He goes, and first of all, when does Batista ever tweet about any pay per view that he's not involved in? Right?
Nothing. So he's trying to bang Dana Brooke like after pay per views. He'll tweet about that.
Well, you know, good for him.
And, hey, I'm not hating on that either.
No, not at all. But the tweet was. I wish all my brothers and sisters in WWE the greatest tonight at the pay-per-view. I won't be able to be there, but some friends of mine will be. And
this is where they're going. You know, it's been like 6 years, I think, since he finished up that run that was so disastrous with him coming into the Royal Rumble and getting booed and all that shit. And as he leaves and goes out the door, he tells Hunter, well, I'm going to be in this Guardians of the Galaxy movie. If you guys want to do something with it, you can always bring me back. And Hunter goes, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be all that good. So we've gone from that. And it was, for those of you that missed it, it was the number one movie of the year. It was by far the number one movie of the year. It's spawned a couple of sequels, and they've been in some of these movies with these Avengers people that you may have heard of. I'm not sure.
Yeah, oddly enough.
So they can't do business with him on that, but they're tripping over themselves to pay $1 million to get $1 million to get these zombies to fuck up WrestleMania Backlash.
Just the worst, man.
That's where we've landed. That's where we've landed with Batista. And so you enjoyed AEW Dynamite overall as we're headed out on this episode?
Yeah. I mean, it was nothing stood out overall, but you know, it was watchable. And I mean that with, I don't mean that, you know, with a smirk. It was watchable, but no, it was watchable. It was good.
It's still the best wrestling show on TV.
Yeah.
It's still the best. I mean, it's the one every week that I will try to watch live if I can at all, but I'll certainly make sure that I catch that one.
I've still got major crushes on several of the females there. Kara Shida, Ty Conti, Penelope Jay Ford, Cargill. Jay Cargill,
Julia Hart,
The Good Doctor.
Yeah. Whoever Dasha Fuentes is now, whatever she's calling herself. Dasha Fuentes,
geez almighty, yes.
I'm into her. I mean, like tons of all of them.
All of them, so yeah.
Any other closing thoughts as we wrap up another award-winning episode of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
No closing thoughts.
It was the week closed. That was. Get ready for Ultimate Warrior Week. He is the Ultimate Dwagger! And now the Ultimate Dwagon has retired.
And look where Adam Pearce is nowadays. Who'd have thunk?
He's the star of WWE television. You can't get him. Every TV show they got, they put him on.
Right now, as we speak, think about this. Right now, as we speak, on this day, Adam Pearce is a more prominent character than Daniel Bryan.
Oh, without
question.
In WWE. Without question. He gets way more FaceTime on those shows. And he's like, sometimes, I mean, there's been weeks when he's been on Raw, SmackDown, and NXT in the same week. There's been times when that's happened. And it's not like just like once or twice. It's happened a few times.
And when we saw that, when we were there, we're like, Adam Pearce, we're talking about it. And you're like, yeah, I think his name's Scrap Iron or something. I've, you know, seen him around. I'm like, yeah, I think I've heard that name. And you know, nowadays he's like, almost, you could arguably call him the star at times of Raw and SmackDown. It's a lot
when he was wrestling and he could actually do something in the ring. Yeah, I don't need that guy. You know, put him in a suit. God damn it. We're doing some backstage stuff. That's
yeah,
money.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's good shit. He can't do anything in the ring, but God damn it, put him in a suit.
But he played up that damn role that night with Daniel Bryan. Perfect. The heel when that dude was doing the that introduction.
It was during that period of time when Daniel was fired for choking out Justin Roberts with a tie. So Daniel Bryan was really kind of a natural. Daniel Bryan's been a natural babyface anyway. Even when he was heel, he was sort of. They just kind of went with the whole environmental thing. You know,
yeah. Like
he's a heel in Vince's eyes because Vince wants, you know, he thinks that they're trying to rape people and put them in Priuses or something like that. I don't know what Vince, that was
one of the stupidest heel gimmicks ever.
It worked. He got it over just because he's such a talent.
But that was Daniel Bryan. That's why.
Yeah, that's all him. Wasn't any great concept or anything.
No concept.
Bryant is followable on the social media, Instagram and on Twitter, at Bry Sports. That's BRY Sports on TikTok. He's Stanley Jackson 23. The show is Katie Vick Alive on the Twitter machine, at Katie Vick Alive. I am Britt Whitmire on Twitter, BRITTWHITMIRE, and on the Instagram, it's B-Dub for Reels, BDUB number 4, RELZ. And make sure you're listening to the Brad and Britt cast as well. That's another podcast that I do Monday through Thursday with my friend Brad Krantz. So that's available anywhere you get the podcast, like Spotify and Google and Apple and Stitcher and iHeart and TuneIn and all the places you get them. And until next time, and if you'd like to support what we do, by the way, you can shop at our Amazon store. That is katievick.com, katievick.com. Till next time, fans, we'll see you ringside.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.